name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, the first Sunday of Great Lent, we call it the Sunday of Orthodoxy, or the Triumph of Orthodoxy. In cathedrals, bishops will proclaim the service of the anathemas before the Divine Liturgy. It's a very beautiful, profound service, which speaks of the truth of our faith. It's only done in cathedrals with bishops. We will have a maleben at the end of the liturgy for the conversion of those in error. And sometimes we have in the past done a procession with icons around the church or around the outside of the church, just like on Palm Sunday or just like on Holy Saturday. There's a lot of beauty to this day. There's a lot of victory to this day. But people, I think, misunderstand it sometimes. The history is that the icons were suppressed for a short period of time because, really, of the influence of Islam. It's really what caused it. Because they are severe iconoclasts. And in certain parts of the empire, Islam was making incursions, and their ideas were polluting people. And eventually, such ideas polluted emperors. And so for periods of time, people were actually killed if they venerated icons. Icons were taken and trampled down and burned and used in stables and all kinds of crazy things. And it happened for a period of time, and then the icons were restored for a short period of time, and then right back, like a dog to its own vomit, people went to iconoclasm, and a significant portion of them, so that the church was under siege again. And then eventually the icons were restored, and they have been venerated in the Orthodox manner now for over 1,000 years or so. But this was just a period of time that there was great persecution, and then there was a little less, and then there was more, and then finally no more. And so we celebrate the restoration of the icons. And because icons specify that the Lord Jesus Christ is incarnate, not a phantom, not a projection, but God becoming man, that's what icons say. That's the theological statement of icons. It's very important that the icons were restored. But this is not the triumph of Orthodoxy. This is what people think it is. The triumph of Orthodoxy is what is stated in the Epistle and the Gospel today. It's very personal. The icons being restored is a historical fact. But what is happening to you is very personal. The triumph of good over evil in your heart. That is the triumph of Orthodoxy. Made possible because God became man. No doubt about it. But also, God became man, and yet many people will not be saved. So it's not just God becoming man. It's not just Jesus telling us by his words and his example and giving his words to his apostles, which then would be promulgated through the ages to us. And his passion and his death and his resurrection and his ascension and his sending of the Holy Spirit. All those things will not save unless we are involved in desiring them, in reacting to them. The triumph of Orthodoxy is the changing of the human soul. Voluntarily. Something that is beyond our abilities, that God will help us with. So we voluntarily follow the law of God as best we can. And God makes us able to follow it better. This is what the Epistle and the Gospel are speaking of. Now, Great Lent is this period of time, short period of the year, about a tenth of the year, in which we should be fasting more strictly. We should be praying more strictly, giving alms. We should be focusing on spiritual things more. It's the time to leave off with entertainments and other such things for a season, for a short period of time. And then comes Pascha. Well, in the same way, you can think of everything is for a short period of time. Because the epistle says that by faith, Moses refused to be called one of the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction for the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures for a season. So really what Great Lent is teaching us is everything's temporary and all that matters is God. So this is a period of intensive fasting and other things, and perhaps some of you are fasting well, perhaps some of you aren't, perhaps some of you really aren't praying that well yet. May God help you with all those things. But the world is temporal. The world is a temporal place. But what we become is permanent. And I tell you, understanding that temptations are for a season, but righteousness is for eternity, is what we must understand deeply in our heart. And this will help us. This will help us to become righteous. I have a little trick that I tell people that are tempted by the eyes, the lust of the eyes. You can go anywhere around town. You can see things that cause trouble in your heart when you see them. Desire or lust or just kind of shake you up. You don't like the feelings that you have. Well, most of the time, these things that you would see, if you wait a moment, they're gone. If you're in the grocery store, as soon as you're gone from the checkout line, there are no more magazines to see. If you're in a car, as soon as the car passes the billboard can't be seen. If there is someone that is walking that tempts you, as soon as they turn the corner, they can no longer be seen. It was just for a season that you had this temptation. Just for a moment. Could you endure it for a moment? For 10 seconds? For just a few seconds? And then it's gone. But the righteousness that you gain from this short struggle is inestimable. This is what you need to do in your Christian life, is think of temptations as being short and that they will go away, because they will. Just like the persecution of the icons went away, truth will win out in your soul and in mine. And yes, sometimes temptations seem like they're very long. Seems like we struggle against things for long periods of time and make no headway. But the truth of the matter is that our endurance is but for a season, because our life is short and eternity is long. So the triumph of orthodoxy is that we're changing. All we need to do is understand that these temptations are for a season, a short period of time. Now in the end of this epistle, St. Paul says that since we're so compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's what we should do, knowing that these things are going to go away. These things are going to lapse. What is going to endure is righteousness, is what we become. Now, the Gospel speaks of it too. The Gospel speaks of it sort of in a negative way in the beginning. Because Nathanael says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a town of disrepute. You wouldn't think that any prophet would come out of Nazareth. And yet Philip said he saw it, and he's Jesus of Nazareth. He says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of my struggle? Can come out of my heart? And what did Philip say? Come and That's what he did. Come and see. And that's what you must do, brothers and sisters. The triumph of Orthodoxy is that we continue to come and see every day and every moment. And the temptations are but for a season. They might seem long. They seem long to me. But they really aren't. Because God is changing us in our hearts. It's the greatest miracle. That we can be changed so that we can know the truth. And it says the truth will set us free. I think you want to be free, don't you? I do. I want to be free of those things in me that tie me down. Not like the world talks about being tied down. No, I want freedom so that I can be good. Always. Every single circumstance, I can be good. And there will always be peace in my heart. God promises this. This is what Christianity is. It's not a set of dogmas and a set of instructions and a set of things we should do and not do and traditions. Christianity is life. Christianity is that we can be perfected. That's what we're aiming for. I'll tell you, if you live the Christian life with desire, there's a lot of things that you're going to feel. A lot of unpleasant things. Fear of what you are capable of doing. Fear of your sins. Joy. But also deep sorrow over what you are not. An aching in your heart for yourself and for others. You know, I as a priest pray that you would have this aching in your heart. You have to have it. Because what you are right now is not what you should be. You should feel sadness over that, coupled with joy. One person once coined the word or the term joyful sorrow. Joy at what God will give us, and sorrow that we seem to go towards it so slowly. And although St. Paul tells us to run the race with patience, let us have impatient patience. Let us desire to become better every moment and every day. Oh yes, there's going to be a lot of times when we don't do the right thing, and when we're just out of sorts, and things just don't go right, and we know that we could have done better. All right. Once you've done something, it's already history. You can't undo it, but you can certainly overcome it. And that's what Jesus Christ came for. So that we could overcome. And we will. This is the triumph. And it's all because of faith. Patient faith. Faith that endures for a season. So let us be like the men of old and the women of old that had faith. Let us be like people that are in the world today. The world's not without faith. Sometimes it appears to be, but it is not. And let us run the race with patience. Impatient patience. Desiring to be changed. And enduring the things that afflict us, our weaknesses and our sins and our passions, knowing that they are going to pass. They're not permanent. God made you for eternity, brothers and sisters, for perfection in eternity. And it can be obtained if we only endure our temptations that are for a season. May God bless you and help you in all things.